thank you, Father, this morning. Even, Lord, as you have given this message today morning, Lord, and I pray, Lord Jesus, that, Lord, you, Lord, will guide in this message. You, Lord, will speak. Nothing of my flesh will speak, but only your spirit will speak. Take control, Lord Jesus. Take control of everything, Lord Jesus, this morning. And I pray, Lord, that your word, Lord, will be deeply settled among the people and including myself, Lord Jesus. And I thank you, Father, it's your word that everything that comes out from my mouth come from you only. In the most precious name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Let's turn to Book of Acts. Chapter 13. Can you read from verse 1 to verse 4? Book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 1 says this. Now in the church that was in Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. Amen. The church of Antioch was an apostolic church. Antioch, you know where was Antioch? Antioch was not in Rome. It was not in Jerusalem. Do you know where it was? Hello? Huh? Turkey. Turkey. Antioch was in Turkey. Today it's called Turkey. It is a town, city where you can find, it was the main church which center. The main church was in Jerusalem. In Book of Acts, you'll find in chapter 9, you'll say that, you see that in the days of the times when there was persecution happening, let's look at chapter 9. I want to go to chapter 8. Now Saul was consenting to his death that at the time against at the time a great persecution rose against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the region of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. The devout men who carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Men. You will find, at the time there was persecution happening, there was a great persecution happening. The persecutioner was also Saul, who is now called Paul. Amen. The persecutioner, the man who put Stephen to death, who was part of the Stephen's death, the martyr Stephen, at the same time, you go back and read Book of Acts. How many of you have read that chapter? How many of you have not read? Don't be shy, okay? Go back and read. You must understand this, why we have to rise up for the day, last days. It doesn't matter about me dying or living. As long as you die, die for God. And no, if you die, die should be for Him. Nothing else. Amen? Don't say, I want to hold on. My children, God will take care. If children has blessed me, my son Peter, Paul and Mark, God surely will take care. I've not seen my son's face for the last 3-4 days I was here. But I know he's eating, he's still breathing, he's still walking, he's still going to work and coming back and sleeping. Did I make him to sleep? No. Did I give him the food? No. So God is taking care of him. As long as you take care of the work of God, God will take care of your children. That's my faith, and that should be my faith all the while. Unless there's some problem, they'll come back to me. Amen. Praise God. So God was at the time taking care, at the time Saul was persecuting. Now the church which was Antioch was a church which was chosen at the time. Jerusalem was the main church. In Jerusalem was all the apostles. But as there was scattering of the people, the Antioch church, first of all, what they did was that they were praying. The word of God says there were people, prophets and people were praying there. Elders and the prophets were praying in the church in Antioch. As they were praying and they were fasting and praying in the church, not in their houses. Hello? What does the word of God says? They were praying outside of the church. They came here and prayed in the church together in one mind, one accord, as it was in the chapter 1 of Book of Acts. You'll find in people in the time, at a time, people got together in the upper room and prayed together in chapter 1. In one accord. So they were praying, and as we were praying and they were speaking, as speaking to God, as the spirit presence of God came upon them, the filling of the Spirit came upon them. The Spirit of God told to the people at a time and said, the prophets and the elders of the church, and told them, set aside Barnabas and Saul, Paul. Set aside Barnabas and Saul. Number one, today I want you to talk about apostolic anointing. If you want to walk in the apostolic anointing of this church, God has called a few things. You'll find also in the books, in the earlier Old Testament, it says, man should come and face God three times a year. There are three feasts. Man, of the Hebrew man, must go to church, must go to the temple. When you go to the temple, means what they do? They want to encounter God. Is that right? The Old Testament, the Word of God says, three times man has got to go to the temple, face God in Jerusalem. Why? Three times you must know. Whatever feast you're going to, these three feasts you must come. So you will encounter with God. You will have a connection with God. Why you have to have a connection with God? So that you will have the power of God. Amen. Unless you have the power of God, you cannot do the works of God. Hello? Three times every man was compulsion for them to go back in the Old Testament to see God, to have an encounter in temple. They all have to go from Galilee, from different parts of the area. They have to come. Judea, Samaria, everywhere they have to come. Even Galilee, all of the north has got to come. They have to come and come to one place only to encounter God. That was at the Ark of the Covenant, which was at the temple in Jerusalem. But today, brothers and sisters, the Word of God says, it was not in Jerusalem, but it was in Antioch. They were praying and the Spirit of God came upon them. So when you pray together, and together you have fasted and prayed together in a place where there is authority. See, they had come under the prophets, they have come under the apostles, they had come, there was no apostle at the time from Jerusalem who was there. There's only one man called Barnabas who went up to Jerusalem and came back and sought after Paul. And Paul in his letters, he tells himself that I'm called to be a prophet. He is called to be an apostle. Because he was called. He was not appointed, but God, Jesus himself appointed him when he had an encounter with him on the way to Damascus. Number one, you must understand, God has got an appointment for all of us and for every church. God has got an appointment for you and I and for every church. The church in Antioch was appointed to become the apostolic church, to send the missionaries. If Asia was already flooded, if you look at Book of Acts, all of Asia was flooded with the Word of God. Saturation of the Word of God. You will find after Saul, after chapter 13, you will find that Paul and Barnabas and another person of Mark, John, also went out. As they went out, and many others followed him, as they went out for the mission trip, the first mission trip, the second mission trip, you found that there was the Word of God spoken in every part of the places. God has got an appointment for you. How do you know you've got an appointment for you? How do you know Paul was called to become an apostle? How do you know Paul was called for his work? Let's turn to earlier chapter again. From 13, we shall go in front to chapter 9. When God says something, he sure fulfills what he wants. Chapter 9, verse 15. Let's look at this man, Ananias. Ananias was asked by God to go and pray for Saul at the time. And he said that, go and pray for this man. And Ananias said, Lord, how can this man, he is now persecuting the church. He is putting our church members, all those calling themselves Christians, all those believers, he's putting them, punishing them in the prison. But he says, no. God's answer was this. Jesus' answer was this. But the Lord said to him, said to whom? Ananias, the prayerful man. If you want to know more of that, I'm running this message today so fast so that I can do what I want to do today. I want you to go back and read, then you'll understand. Chapter 8 and chapter 9 and until chapter 13. Then you'll understand what I'm saying today. God said to Ananias and told him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. What did he say? His calling has got what? His calling is to go to the Gentiles, to the kings, to the Israelites, and everybody. And yet, after that, what he says, he has gone through suffering for my name's sake. When we are called for an appointment, we expect us to be in the palace, everybody serving you, but you don't serve others. A kingly anointing, we anointed about 2 weeks ago, a kingly anointing in this church. We say kings, so we don't have to be, we don't have to go out and serve. They have to serve me. Hello? Is a king has got to be served or serving? A question, can you answer me? Is a cursed king to be serving or served? Either you serve the king or the king comes and serves you. It's normally we have to serve the king. Right? It's a normal world. But in the world of the Christian world or the world of heavens, there is no longer serving. The kings go out and serve, be served, but to serve. That's the difference between the worldly kingdom and the heavenly kingdom. The heavenly kingdom, the king comes and serves. That is why when we spoke about the other day, when we had the king, the best king you can ever find in the world, is the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, who came down as man to serve man. Can you find a king, a leader, come and serve you? He's the only one who served us. He's the only one who came to serve us. So when he showed that to us, we are supposed to be the kings now. We are appointed now. We are going to speak to the kings. But we should serve every one of them. Number one. When you have got a calling, when God calls you as a kingly person, but he gives you authority, but at the same time, he is calling for a serving. Because he said there is suffering coming. Sometimes in apostolic churches like ours, sometimes when we stand by the word of God, there will be persecution. When we stand by the word of God, there will be persecution. People will come and say a lot of things. People will leave the church. People will come and say all kind of nonsense about a pastor, everybody else, or this person is no good. Doesn't matter. Does it matter? Do you send, you give the love, first of all? Do you serve them with love? If we serve them with love, we don't have to fear anything. If we serve the people with only the heart of getting something from them, like the world, if I serve you, what do I get from you? Then we have to worry about something, our mind and ourselves. In the world of kingdom of heaven, you don't have to worry about that. So he's got a calling. And the church has got a calling. This church has got a calling for itself also. So as we come together to serve God, we don't come and serve God just as by coming sitting down here on Sundays. I did mention in our seminar, we don't sit down. We are supposed to be hot for God. How do you know you're hot for God? Like what Paul did. They sat down and prayed. And after that, as the laying of hands, after sending off, the church sent off the person to go into mission works. There was this calling of the person to have this mission work. Our church has got a calling. The calling has got to be opened. You know, I waited many years in this church, and after that I had to be prayed by the elders. I have to be prayed by my pastor. Then he was sent off to do my first calling outside of this nation. That was Philippines' first calling. See, God has got to give that kind of authority to us. So when there's a calling, there's also providence. There's also things God will open the doors for us. Amen. So if the church is now, it's going to be an Antioch church. Either you want to be an Antioch church or you want to be a church which is sitting down, we're doing nothing and saying, we just glorify ourselves. It's a choice of ourselves. But God has called his church to be an Antioch church. To be apostolic feeling. To be prophetic feeling. You have to operate in that. If God gives you something, if today and you don't use it, it'll be taken away from you. Assuming now, I used to go and be active during when I was young. Gymnastics, soccer, football, rugby until I broke my hand. And after that, no more rugby already. After that, God said, you know, my parents didn't allow me to go and do rugby any longer. So after all these activities, about more than 30 years now, I don't exercise. No exercise. You know what happens to my muscles? You can't carry a small chair. Why? No more muscles. All becomes fats now. Right or not? Hello? Am I speaking to you? So when you have something you don't use, God gives you something you don't use, God will make it take away, it will become like a fats. It's useless. Fats, it's useless. Is fat is useful to you? How many of you go and spend money to train out your fats out? Especially women. You go to this parlor, every parlor just to take out the fats. This fats, or tire fats, extra tire fats, and everywhere else got fats. And men, they try to become fats. The only thing they find always is the pups. To fill in more pups. They say, I have to wash up my fats. So I have to go and sit in the pups to drink down. So they think about washing, but you think about exercising. And all spending money. God has got to do something for us. God has given the muscles. God has given the authority, the Holy Spirit power. We have to go out and do something now. In this light, next year, the church is going to go mission works. It's going to be a mission work which says that, I said there's not an Old Testament says that, you know, the man of God has got to come. The people, every man in Hebrew man has got to come to the temple and present themselves. So when you go and come and see the presence of God, there is something that will happen when you see the presence of God. Is that right? Hello? So 3 times next year, we will at least go to the mission field. So that God can give you the power, you can use the power in the mission field. Amen? Hello? Are you with me? You don't seem to be excited. I know not everybody wants to go for a mission trip. Some of you like to stay here and pray. I need the prayer for people. Some of you say, no, I can't go because I'm so busy. I've got money. I can give the money. It's okay. But we need the people outside there to work also. We need the prayerful man. We need also the people who support financially. We also need the people who go out to the fields. You see the threefolds? You have to go out and do something. And it should be anointed by the God. And it should be a calling by God. And also not only calling, but be sent by God. Hello? How do you go to send by God? Now I've got brothers here from Surabaya. I always want to see go to Surabaya. But God didn't give me a chance to go to Surabaya. God didn't open the door for me. God says, not yet. I want you to go and do these little things first before I give you bigger things. There are many bigger things we want to see in our mind. But God says, you still have not grown yet. I want you to be in this area so that you can fill that one. Then only I can promote you to another place. Promotion comes from what? Hello? How many of you are bosses here who get promoted? Who promotes people? How many of you are here promoted sometime every year? Your promotion comes from your works and your loyalty. Right? People don't promote you for nothing. They promote you for your good works and also for your loyalty to the company. Same way, Jesus also promotes us in our ways, in our life. There are promotions God will give you. When He has got a calling for us, He will promote us from one area to another area. By His promotion we shall go, not by man's promotion. Amen. Amen. So we have to go move forward in the kingdom of God. In order for us to go, God has got to appoint us first. God has got to set aside people. God has got to say these people. If you do not go in the spirit of God, you cannot move the mountains. Amen. If you don't go by the calling of God, you cannot move mountains. You have to go in the callings of God. Amen. Amen. Why are souls outside there? We are happy. We are so busy looking for ourselves. We are so happy. But when it comes, accountability to God is going to be answered. By whom? By every one of us today. And me, as a pastor for this church, I've got answer for this church. So everyone, I've got double answering for my church and myself too. So you are parents, you have to answer for yourself. And also for your children. So we have to understand this, first of all. When there's a calling for a church, and also there is a calling for individually. Amen. The church in Antioch was called to go out to do send missionaries. At the same time, the church in Antioch also sent out people separated and go out to do work. The others did not go out. They were all there all the time. Their names do not appear anywhere else in the Bible or Book of Acts. You'll see. You don't see the same names anywhere except for this place. Right? You'll find Barnabas, yes, goes out with him. Simeon, you don't see him. You don't see Simeon the Niger outside. You don't see Lucius of Tyrene anywhere else. Tyrene. Or Manan, you don't see him anywhere else mentioned. Why? Because their job was to pray and to support in prayer from the church. Hello? They had to support and the others went out. Brothers and sisters, we feel that this year, as God calls us, as God has called me to a couple of places and shown me, and God is now, it's high time for us to move forward. If we don't move forward, we are going to be in the stale time. We've got to move forward. But before moving forward, where is your loyalty first? Loyalty. You know, I want to show you how loyal was Paul to the church of Antioch. Wherever he went back, he came back to Antioch. You'll find he goes to proconsul, he comes back to Antioch. And then he goes off to, you'll find in chapter 18, he also returns back to Antioch. And reports to the elders what happens there. There was a bonding within him and the church which sent him. There was a bonding within him and Barnabas and also the church that sent him out. So the calling is upon the church and also upon the individuals. Amen. So you have to go out with an understanding that there is a separation that has got to do. God has got to do, for number one. Number two, we must have people who are praying also at the same time. We cannot be sending out people without praying for them. So we must have people who are prepared to pray here. Do you know, when you go out and see some of the people, and you go and see people who are prophets or apostles who are going out, they have got a team of them walking. The team has got to be built. And I've been building this church teams, but it's always self-centered. People, what am I into it? Where am I into it? Can I go out and stand there and prophesy? Can I go out and do something? But is that what God's calling is for you? Ask yourself, as much as the zeal that you have for God, you have the zeal for God, but is the zeal of the Holy Spirit upon you to do that work? Hello? Psalmists say very clearly, is the zeal of the God of Zion, of Jerusalem, the Mount Zion, is the zeal of the Lord there which makes us move mightily. It's not by our zeal that we do, but it's by His power that we do. Amen? Are you with me so far? So number one, a church has got to be anointed, appointed. Number two, the people in the church will be also called and appointed. Amen? Set aside. Number three, you'll find when you are called and appointed, you also must understand you must be prepared for sufferings. You must be prepared to go roller coaster. When you take the appointment in going out, you must know there is a roller coaster sometimes. You're going to the things that you do not know. And he says that in Paul chapter 7:9, he says he is called to suffer for my sake. There are a lot of suffering that Paul went through in his lifetime. He took so much of suffering in his lifetime. You see every epistle he wrote. You see the book of Acts, how much of problems he went through. Yet, he's steadfast with the Lord. Why? God allowed that suffering in his life. Oh. God allowed that suffering in the life. If God allows the suffering, He will be with you in that suffering. Do you understand what I'm saying? We go and inflict ourselves with suffering. We go and inflict. You carry your axe and then put it and say, I want some suffering. And then you have got some pain. After that, that suffering is what? What kind of suffering? You inflicted. And you really go through pain because that was not anointed, ordained by God. Sufferings that God allows you to go through so that they can be conditioned in Him. Why does sufferings come? Why does He allow that? So that you are conditioned in Him. You will still stick to Him, knowing the heart of Paul. Paul, the man who was a Saul before, knowing his heart, he is man able to, he's an educated man. He's a mind, he's got a mind which is educated. He's very educated. He was even tutored by a rabbi at that time. He's called Gamaliel. Gamaliel was the most well-known rabbi at that time. One of the well-known Gamaliel was a well-known rabbi at that time, teacher. And he was tutored by this man. He has got intelligence. He's a lawyer in Sanhedrin. He can stand and talk about law of God. But yet, God knows he can use anything for himself to gain himself. So that is why he allowed the suffering to him. So you will still remain with Jesus Christ. Hello? Sometimes some sufferings we have through in our life, we think that, no, your God, why you allowed this to happen? But so that God can bring us back to Him. So that this morning I said, bring back, come back. By that suffering we understand that Jesus went through much more suffering than that for my sake. There is much more. People say, no, there are preachers who will come and tell you, that there are people who will tell you, oh, Jesus already suffered for us, so we don't have to suffer. Then why would we have to suffer? If that is the case, if I were to take that one, Jesus suffered for us and we don't have to suffer anymore. There is no such thing as a Christian should suffer. Christians should not have this, all these things. You know, sometimes God allows that because He knows your heart. Some don't. Some are from young itself, they don't go through suffering. God actually protects them much. Some go through greater suffering, some of them go through little suffering. Why? Different people have got different ways of handling. God is going to handle us differently. God has got to handle us differently. So that suffering is for what? Sometimes in our suffering we go out and say, God, why do you allow this to happen? You know, Paul says it very clearly. You go back and see. There are times that he talks to God. God, this pain, this problem that you have, the thorn that you have, the sickness that you have upon my body, take it away from me. It's so painful. And God says, my grace is sufficient enough for you. My grace is sufficient enough for you. In that suffering, God, you know, a son, your son is suffering right in front of you. You can see him in pain. You know, as a father, I will feel like, you know, I remember you all last year when my son was suffering. I looked at him. I felt the pain inside my heart. But you see, at the end of the day, God also will have this pain for us. But he knows he will not let you suffer more than what you can take. He will not let you suffer more than what you can take. Paul was in the prison. He was hung with chains. And yet, somehow or other, he was able to take everything. You know, when you read about Paul, some of you might not be reading the gospel at home. When you come here and read here, even if you sit down here, I switch on the upstairs, we have got a speaker. Whatever they were reading, I was hearing upstairs also. So when you hear the word again and again, it's not that, you know, it's routine. But something new, you'll find something every time. Something new, you'll recover from the word of God. It's fun to understand God more. It's through the word of God that we can understand Jesus Christ. It's through the word of God we can understand Jesus Christ. Otherwise, we can't understand Jesus Christ. We have to know him more and more, deeper and deeper. So the suffering he went through, Paul has got to go through. He said, he has got to suffer for my namesake. Why his namesake? Because his name should be glorified. Whose name should be glorified? Was Paul's name glorified? Jesus' name was glorified in that suffering. Jesus was glorified. So that his namesake, his sake, for Jesus' sake, he will suffer. So that his name, whose name? Jesus' name. At the end of the day, God, I've suffered so much. Where's my reward? I want some luxury. I want to sit in an air-conditioned church like this. Maybe we are always used to air-conditioned churches. When you go to certain areas in somewhere out of town. How many of you have been to out of town churches in Malaysia? How many of you have been? Not been. I think I must take some of you to out-of-town churches. Show you how many churches suffer in the entire country. They don't have air condition. They don't have anything that is good. There is no fan sometimes. And they suffer. You see the enthusiasm of the people who sit there to hear the word of God. Hunger they've got is much more than the people who are sitting in air condition sometimes. You know, you go out and see them. Then only you understand. God, I have been too much in the comfort zone. Comfort zone. That is the reason why he allowed the suffering to happen. Brothers and sisters, you must understand, many of them out there don't have the facility that church we have. From the beginning itself, because this church was, if I were to be started up, I do not know whether I would have it this note. But God somehow or other created all this. And was because it was a German lady who started off this and the people who had money, they invested all this. Air condition. Made it so nice for us. But there are churches don't even have a painting like that. You know, how many of you look at that painting and look at it and say, God, what is this? Ours not to question why ours to do God's work and the will of God and smile. Do we know that? There was some purpose God spoke to somebody in this church to draw this and put that to the word. So do we know that? We don't appreciate these things. When you go to the place, when they come here, you know that the other 2 days ago, there were two Indonesians that came here into this church. One of them became a Christian and brought them. They were from a different religion and they came to know the Lord. And they came here just for praying. They took a bus. You know what moved me? I said, I can't come because we have got a prayer here. Pastor, I want Sayaminta. I want some prayer. I prayed on the phone. He said, no, I want you to come and pray. I can't come. You know what they did? They took a bus from Ulu Bernam, which is right inside a deep estate. And from the estate to come out outside, three of them sat in a motorcycle to come outside to a small town. And from that town, they took a bus and they went to Turkintan to take another bus from there to come here. They took them 3.5 hours to come here. Ulu Bernam is only about 45 minutes. If I drive 1.5 hours, I'll reach there. The trouble they took and came shows the enthusiasm they needed in God. And after all, that woman is formerly a different religion. She's a different religion. And she accepted the Lord. And now she's on fire for God. Why she asked me, you know? The way the Christians behave in this estate are worse. Sometimes I wonder whether I joined the right or not, whether I accepted Christ the right way or not. I see the Christians the way they behave. I will ask her to come and give testimony. She can only speak Indonesian language. She's not educated. No education to read. She's got a hunger for God. I'm so blessed to see this kind of people. The hunger. And for them to go back here, the bus, they waited at Pururaya at 6 o'clock, but the bus didn't come. The bus left here at 7:30. By the time they reach there, about 3.5 hours, it'll be midnight. And after midnight, they have to take the motorbike and go into a small jungle area, go through all this area, dark area, just to reach this estate. You know what? I'm not exaggerating. I want you to come with me one day and show. There are about 1,000 over Indonesians there seeking God. Out of which, only about 5% are sincere to God. Most of them are Christians, but they are not following Christ. Prostitution, drinking, cheating, gambling, and witchcraft. Brothers and sisters, are we the light for God? This woman, among every one of them, is suffering. She's suffering so they can see, understand God more and more. The zeal of the Lord is upon her that she's seeking the Lord. The zeal of the Lord is upon her that she's seeking Him more. Amen. Some of us think that we have got some gift already, we can do some things. I want to ask you, I want to challenge. Is that gift, and with that gift you want to do? No. God has got to ordain you and move you, mover. God has got to move you further. God has got to, only way is to sit at His feet and to get that. I was disappointed in this church. The number of people who came to read in this church. I was very disappointed. I slept here for the last, I think most of the times I've slept here. Daytime I take off, whenever there is somebody here, I go home and I have a shower and I need a hot water shower nowadays, I don't know why. I went home to take a hot water shower and come back. I've seen people who see nothing there, they sign up for 5 hours, 6 hours. People who are sick, yet because they wrote down, they don't want to give up, they still come. People who come and wait, want to read the Word of God. Where is the zeal lacking? Where is the zeal? Where is the zeal? Simple. It's not great. I'm not asking you to come and do something here, heavy work, paint the church or something like that. Come and just read the Word of God. I wish I can take you to Indonesia and show you, or Sarawak and show you, how the people are doing there. Simple people, simple-minded people who move mightily. I know somebody is going to raise the dead. The anointing that is God from me, somebody in Cebu is going to raise the dead. I know that for sure. Because the zeal of our Lord is so much. Zeal is so much. Because you know why? They are obedient to what God says. I know for sure. Something is going to happen in Cebu. And for His glory. And from these people who have listened. And sitting down reading the Word of God. Sitting down praying. And others, they feel they don't. Because they are already anointed. They don't need to go. Brothers and sisters, I want you to ask yourself, are we a congregation or are we an individual? It was a congregation which sent these people out, from Paul and Barnabas out. It was not an individual. It was a congregation which sent out the people out. Amen? Amen? It's a congregation. It's a group of people, the elders and the prophets and the apostles who send out the people. I pray that we have that heart. When you have this, when you come back to this, when we come back again to the pain, the tortures, the pains that we go through, so much of trouble we go through, in that trouble, we still have to find Jesus Christ. Where is Christ in my troubles now? How do I recognize Him in my trouble? How do I be swept away? How do I be carried in this trouble so that I can move to the next level? We have to really understand, brothers and sisters. We have to really understand what God is calling us today. It's the Word of God, end of the day. It's the Gospel of God. You read Revelation. The testimony of Jesus Christ, if it is not spoken to the people, the testimony, which is a testimony, and then your signs and wonders will follow. Only then people will know Christ Jesus, who is He. It's a challenging world now. It's really a challenging world. What is going to happen in the few 3 years' time? Sometimes I wonder what's going to happen. Why, Lord? But his fulfillment, his word fulfillment will come to pass. We cannot change what Jesus is and what he has got planned. We cannot change it. But his fulfillment in the world and in our life will come to pass. Amen. Coming back to this lady again. And they're living together. They married in a different religion way. And she comes in, Pastor, I want to be baptized. I want to know more Jesus Christ. I want to be baptized. I want my husband to be baptized. He was a Catholic before. And now he's in my religion. But in my country we can change. But your country we cannot change. And they're willing to do that. And they said, I also want to be married before God. Can you just see the zeal that person has got? And she said, Pastor, we will come here on the 8th of next month. And can you please get us married here in this church? Can you pray for us? Can you baptize us on the time and teach us and so that we can be married in the church? I want to change. I want my life to be changed. You know, when I dropped them in the car, I went to the Puduraya, I dropped them. After she left, I cried. I said, Lord, I didn't even have the zeal that this woman has got. After all, she believes in a religion in our country, we cannot be converted. But in Indonesia, she can. You know, the zeal she's got. And she says, I'm not a good person, Pastor. I was really not a good person. In my life, you see, my life was really a rotten person. And I was a wicked person. Now, after hearing you, see what's happening there, the miracles, I want to know this God more. Brothers and sisters, even witchcraft people will be changed for the word of God. Let's look at chapter 8. The third thing is, people not only change, not only your life will be changed, people's life will change. How? Even witchcraft people will be changed. Verse 9 onwards. Chapter 8, there was persecution and went on, and there was preaching, and you know what, you'll find, I'll cover that a little while later on this thing, on Philip. But here, sorcerer, there was a sorcerer, a man whose name was called, a sorcerer in verse 14 onwards, right? Verse 14 onwards. You'll find there was this man who was a sorcerer, who was a witchcraft man, who came to Simeon and asked, Peter and asked, you know, his name is Simeon, asked him, can you give me this power? Can you give me this power that people can be healed? Use the Holy Spirit power. Can I buy it? How much is it? They cannot buy. But at the end of the day, he converted. He changed his heart. I want you to go back and read the chapter 8. You'll find he changed his heart. In the presence of God, even people who are wicked can be changed. People who are wicked can be changed. You can be anybody, a witchcraft person. In the presence of God, that the glory that you carry, people can be changed. Amen? Amen? And when they change radically. When they change radically, they will be better than even some other Christians. That's how it is supposed to be like. And I pray that that same spirit shall be upon us to change. Like what Peter went and spoke in chapter 8. And he went to Samaria. And he spoke in Samaria because there was something happening. You'll find, number one, when you are sent by God, when you are ordained by God, when you are set aside by God, number one, there shall be power upon you. Amen? The verse 4 says that very clearly. Being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went out to Seleucia, and from there on, they sailed to Cyprus. And I want, when you go back and read this, when it was sent by the Lord, you'll find the first person he met in Cyprus was a man called Elymas, Bar Jesus. Paul went and he encountered with a person who has got witchcraft. The first person he came to encounter was a man with witchcraft. Elymas, Bar Jesus. I want you to read further in chapter 13, you'll find. And that man was dumbfounded by the power of God which was in the hands of Paul. Amen. Paul encountered with a spirit man, evil spirit man. His name is Elymas. Or it's called as Bar Jesus. Now I would like you to know that God, when he sends you, anoints you, when he gives you, separates you, set you aside, and he sends you, you will find people when the power that you go in the power of the Holy Spirit, when you go inside, number one, people, even witchcraft people will change. Wicked people will change. That's the power we must go in. Amen? We cannot go in without that power. That power is needed. And when the power is needed, you must have people who are praying in the church for you, supporting. You're not alone in war. You must have warriors in the spirit. You cannot have war outside there when you don't have a warrior here in the spirit. And number two, you must have people who support you in every area. Amen? Amen? So I need to know that the next year when we go out, we need this three group of people. As the church goes out next year, we will have this three group of people. That is why we gave during the church seminar time. Some of you did not attend the seminar. You can come and collect that forms from upstairs and take it and write it down. Where do you want to serve? What you want to do? Alright? And you must understand, there is always a leadership. You'll find in this chapter, you'll find as they went up to Antioch, from Antioch they I want you to go back and read. After that they went up to the mainland. As they went up to the mainland, one person who went with him was John Mark. John Mark is the man who wrote the Gospel of Mark. He was angry with Paul because he didn't want to follow the leader. There was a leadership change in the time. Barnabas was leading the team. But when it came after all the encounter, what happened? Barnabas let Paul lead because he saw the power of God was upon him, that he had the apostolic anointing. He allowed Paul to lead. So he had the apostolic anointing. So when he led, somehow or other, the man, John Mark, was angry. He said, how come my uncle Barnabas was not the leader? Now Paul is nobody. How come he became a leader? Hello? How many of you have got that kind of heart? How come I'm here in this church so many years? How come I'm not being leader? Ask yourself, are you able to lead? Are you leading? Are you walking in His light? Are you taking small things for granted or big things only are going to come? When you serve in this church, you don't get the glory. You don't get that kind of name. This church is a small church. There are many churches, big churches, we can get name, we can see the power. This church is not to show power to man, but to show the power of God to man. Hello? Hello? Do you follow what I'm saying? This church is not to show your power and show off to somebody, but it's about you showing the power of God to man. The power of God must be shown to man. And you should be a channel. And you should humble down and more. The more you humble yourself, only then the power can be shown. Amen? If you don't humble yourself, bow down before God, and you don't see that, the power of God will not fall through because there is some obstacle inside you. There is pride inside you. Pride inside you. Pride inside you. When pride comes inside, the flow of Spirit of God is stopped. Amen? So we have to now understand, when the power comes, the power is not to show off, but the power is to be used by God. Humbly. Humbly. Amen? Amen? So we have to use that power that God gives. In order for us to get the power, what we must do, go back to normal again. What were they doing? In order to get power? Pray. Pray. They gathered together in chapter 1. It says that, verse 1 in chapter 13, it says, got together and prayed and fasted. And that's the time the power came upon them. Amen. When did the Holy Spirit come down for the apostles? Chapter 1 of Acts. Chapter 1 of Acts, verse 14 says this. They all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary and Mother of Jesus, with all of them in the upper room. Their job is to pray together. Job is to pray together and fast together. They never stayed at home and fasted. They never stayed at home and prayed. They came together to pray. Why there is power in praying together? Because the power of God says this, when two or three are gathered in my name, there I shall be. When you're sitting at home alone, you don't get the power coming down. Why? Because the word of God says, when two or three are there, then only I'll gather myself. Amen? So we have to understand, brothers and sisters, we are in the last days. In the last days, we have to be sent by God, being an Antioch church. In order to be an Antioch church, you're also set apart. Every one of you are set apart. But sometimes most of us do not want to abide. The problem is obedience is the biggest problem. Biggest problem is obedience. If obedience fall on us, then everything else shall fall on us. Because obedience is not falling on us, we are not getting the things that we are supposed to get. Obedience is important. The Antioch church has got to move. Antioch church has got to pray. Antioch church has got to fast. Antioch church has come together to read the word of God. Because they feel, I'm not part of it. This reading of word of God, I'm too small, I'm too big, I can read faster, I can stay at home and read. What for I must come to this church and read? It was a calling for this church. And you'll find not many churches in this nation of Malaysia are reading the word of God. I know one church. Jin Lim does that. I don't know why it was given to me to read. And now because reading in this church, we don't see that power maybe because you're not coming united. I've seen the power in Cebu when they read the word of God. I've seen the power in Solo. I've seen the power in Borobudur. I've seen the power in Yogyakarta. And now it's going to go to Jakarta itself. The same thing I teach here is what I teach outside. So those people are willing to take what we teach. I'm not scolding any one of you, no? I do not even understand that. So that's why I say I don't want to please man anymore. You come to serve so that the glory of God will be manifested. And all this glory shall go back to Him. All honor shall go back to Him. All everything that we have should be for Him. We live because of Him. We live to die for Him. Amen. Amen. So when we have that attitude, then we have change. Our life will change. Our things around us will change. Why? Paul's life changed. Barnabas' life changed. Even Mark, John, who went rebelled against Paul and came back later and Paul recommended him. He's the right man. Now his heart is changed now. There's got to be a change. When you have, number four, when you want to move in the apostolic and you want to have, when you want to have the anointing of the apostolic, when you feel that you are set aside, the church is set aside, the church will be persecuted, the people around you will be persecuted. You'll find that in chapter 1. You'll find that in verse chapter 8. Verse 1 itself. Now Saul was consenting to his death. There was persecution. He brought persecution to the people. When there is appointment of apostle on your heart, there is a persecution in heart which is comes along in their life. There'll be persecution. It's because of persecution that they went out from Jerusalem. It is because of persecution that everybody else went out. And one of them who went out in chapter 8, you'll find, is a man called Philip. In chapter 6 and 7, you'll find that Philip was just appointed, not apostle, he's not apostle. He was appointed to take care of the table of widows, to give supplies to our widows and children, who food, to cook food and give. And that man preached the word of God. Because of persecution, he ran out from Jerusalem, he went to Samaria. And God used this Philip who was taking care of food. He was obedient in taking care of the food for the people. It's not that same Philip which is apostle. This is a different Philip. I want you to go back and check. Let's look at it. Are you with me so far? Hello? Chapter 6, huh? Chapter 6. When they said they need some people to serve the widows, there was a complaint among the widows. They said, how come we are, you Israelites are not taking care of me? We are Hellenites and we have got a problem. Hellenists, you know, they were all Hellenists and we have got a problem, you know. You all Hebrews don't take care of my children. Just like, you know, oh, you Chinese don't take care of the Indians, or Indians don't take care of Chinese, something like that, or Malays. You know. So they also came out racially and said, we are a Hellenist. How come you Hebrew people don't take care of me? We also got need. I've got my children all. We all are widows. You know, we've got food. We need food. Our children are hungry. So, Apostle Peter, what did he do? I've preached about this before, and I remember that because of our prayer, when prayer. He said, he prayed, let me do the things of the word of God. So he set aside seven people to only to feed the people. And the seven people, the leader of the people was first executed. His name is Stephen. You'll find the people who were accepted here was, verse 6. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus. Now this Philip, the same Philip is mentioned here, is the same Philip which is mentioned now in chapter 8. It's not the Philip, brother of Andrew and all this, you'll find them there. It's not them. It's not apostle. This is the different Philip. This is the Philip which is talked about here. And this Philip went out to preach the word of God in Samaria. And the same Philip was used by God to be translated and speak to the man who is from the kingdom of Ethiopia. The eunuch of Ethiopia was converted by his ordinary man who was faithful in the job God gave him to do. Because he was faithful in the job he was doing, now there was a persecution that comes. And you know, during the persecution, when it came, and he was not sitting down in his laurels and only serving, but now he went out to preach the word of God. As he preached, he was used mightily. Spirit of God, you'll find, also took him by the Spirit and took away to another man, and from there to serve somebody else. After the Ethiopian, the Spirit of God came upon him. He was translated to another place. When you're anointed, when you're set aside, when you're obedient, when you're sent by the church, when you're sent by the apostolic church, you'll find God's power work. When God's power work, you'll be only work, not working. Spirit of God will take you out from trouble and bring you to different places. You'll be translated. I want to tell you this, brothers and sisters. In the last days, there'll be a lot of restriction for the Christians to move around. There'll be God using people who are faithful to Him to translate them from one place to another place when there is difficulty in moving. There's nothing impossible with God. When there are people going to check your passport, whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, they're going to persecute you. At that time, God will translate you from here to another country by a snap of a finger. God is doing it now. I know men and women who's being translated. God is doing it now. They're just quiet, humble people. They don't go out and tell everybody. But God is using them mightily. Why? Because they were faithful. They were obedient. Number three, they were sent by the church. Amen? So today you must understand God's purpose in our life is appointed time. Appointed time is now. Appointed time is not tomorrow. Some of you have got callings. Some of you are walking away from callings. God is speaking to us today morning. Are you called? Yes. Is the church called? Yes. Is the church set aside for this work? Yes. But is the people set aside for the work? Yes. But are you faithful? Because we always want to be in the front line. Front line is the one which gives you glamour. It's not to get glamour. I wish sometimes we can even sit down and pray all the time. You know, the front line is a commando line. When you go in a commando line, you can be struck. Do you understand what I'm saying? The soldiers have got different levels. The commando, the front line guys, they are the one who struck first. The one behind are the one who is praying. In between are the supplies. But the person will be struck first at the front line. Brothers and sisters, we have to have the people from back to support the front line. The front line should not look for glamour. Should be humble and stay before God. We do not have recognition. Doesn't matter. We don't do service much as what other churches do. We don't have feeding station. I always wanted to feed, but some other people didn't rise up in this church to feed the poor. There are many people who are feeding. Maybe God has got a purpose for different our church. Our church is different. Not necessarily must follow somebody else's anointing or somebody else's way they serve people, serve God. But our church of serving God is different. We are the back people to pray for everybody else. We are going to be the front people to go out to do the certain things which people others cannot do. The anointing that is upon this church, which is spoken into my life, is that we will be like commandos. God will bring you to a place. And then after that, finishing the work, He'll take you out from there. People will not know you. But God knows you. Only He knows what you have done. The assignment is a secret assignment. So you go out to pray for the place and come back. Your name is not known. It's okay. But the work of God is done. There will be multiplication growing in that place. That's what we need. If you go to Sarawak and you ask them, Pastor James Doss, they don't know me. But I know they know Jesus Christ. I know that they know the people around they are praying together with. I know the people they mingle with and they go out with. They know themselves, each other. But our job is not to go and make our names up there, but to make glorify the name of Jesus Christ. So frontliners are not supposed to go there to glorify yourself. That they will only follow people. Oh, I must follow James Doss, I must follow Apple, or I must follow Orange, I must follow this person, that person, or Pear. No, we don't have to follow anybody. We have to only follow Jesus Christ. Only Jesus Christ. Amen? You don't come to church here because of apple A, or you come because of B, which is whatever you call that. No, or you come here before because somebody is an orange or a grape. You don't come like that. You come here because you want to look for Jesus Christ. And I assure this to church. If you are faithful to what I say today, surely God will give you the glimpse of what God showed me. If I speak, it is not right. I want you to get the glimpse of what God has got for you. Unless you get a glimpse, I spoke to you all in the seminar, those of you who were there. Unless you get the glimpse of the mission of God, you cannot do the work of God. I repeat again, unless you get the glimpse and the compassion of God, you cannot do the work of God. Amen? Amen? I explained to you, I'll finish this today with only one. In Matthew, you'll find God multiplied, Jesus multiplied the bread and the loaves of bread and also fishes. Alright? How many fishes did he have at that time? Two fishes. How many loaves of bread he had? I want to ask you, there were 5,000 men, there are about all together, another 7,000 to 8,000 women, plus another children, about 5,000, maybe 20,000 people or maybe 15,000 people were there to eat. How would a young boy carry a lunch bag? Is the lunch bag, one loaf means the one, in Malaysia we have that, last time the old buns we have, the Chinese, they'll cut and give you. Do you think that he'll be carrying five loaves of like that on his lunch bag? How big will be the lunch bag bread he'll be carrying? Small, about this size. Can we say this size? Can we say this size? About this size, he's carrying five loaves like that. He's got five breads. And then two fishes. Do you think the fish is like a tingiri, the big one there? Carrying the big one, tingiri, carries on the shoulder. My lunch is for a tingiri, you know, the big Solomon fish. The one which is carrying one like that. Two fishes, throw each one behind. You think that little boy will be carrying a lunch pack with a big lunch, big fish? Surely he'll be carrying a small fish. Right? Say the fish, what is the size of fish you want? The size of my finger, my palm? Is that okay? Is that big enough? Two of this size. Right? I want you to get this glimpse again. I talked to those people in the seminar who came today. I'm giving it to you again. Right? I want you to get this again. The word of God says, Jesus, first of all, looked at the people. He was with compassion. He said, Peter said, Master, Lord, can you ask the people to go out and buy the food? It's already evening time. And Jesus turned around and told them, you feed them yourself. And now, after he telling them, what did happen? Master, we don't have money. We don't have that much of food around here. We cannot buy any food around here that much for these 5,000 people. Plus all, I think with the women, about 15,000 people around here. How can we feed them? But he says, I've got one man who's got, it's a little boy, who's got his lunch pack, which is about five loaves, five breads, and two fishes. And Jesus said, ask them to sit down by row and row. Is that right? Are you with me so far? I want you to picture first. If you don't picture, you don't get a picture. If you don't picture, I want to have that vision in your mind, you can't get the vision of God. Right. Now, he has asked them all to sit by hundred and thousands. Can you just imagine about 15,000 people sitting there? Why do I say 15,000 people? Hebrew way of counting, they always honor men. How many men? Some of the men would have come with their wives. Some of them would have brought their mates. Some of them at that time would have carried children. Normally, even till today, even the time of Jesus, more women followed Jesus than men. The proportion of number of people in the church is always women more than men. Because the men, they still want to wash off their fats. They're still in the process of washing. Women, some or other, went for a quick one. They had some or other, I don't know what they did, all the blast or whatever it is, and they are now a bit slimmer and they come into the church. Right? So as they are in the church here, more men, women are in the church. And as you'll find, if there are 7,000 women at a time, it's altogether 12,000 people. And we add some more, another 2,000, 3,000, about 15,000 to 20,000 people were there at a time to feed them. I want you to catch the picture. Jesus had this, and he said, feed them. And after that, what did they do? The apostles, did they question him? Master, we have got only five. How can we feed these people? Didn't they just gave it to Jesus Christ, and Jesus, what did he do? He gave thanks to the Father. He called the 12 apostles, and he broke the bread, five loaves. Can you just imagine this size? He broke into 12 pieces. Hello? How much would be each one carrying? About this size? About my this size? Right? About this size. Each one carrying. Or maybe lesser than that. Right? Two fishes, 12 of them divided. About this size. Can you divide into 12 pieces? Cannot. So two fishes, how many can you divide? Maybe you can divide 6 here, divide 6 here. Give it to them. So the piece will be this much, this size. Right? The piece of fish will be small size. Given to the apostles. Right? John come. Both the Johns. This is John Lopez. That's John me. Come here. I want you to face the people. Now, these are only 3 of them, okay? So, now Jesus takes the amount of, after giving thanks to the Father, and then gave it to John, one small piece of bread, and one small piece of fish. And he gives to John Ming, one small fish of bread, one piece of bread, and one piece of... So he gave it to all the disciples the same way, 12 of them. How many of them they have to feed? 15,000. Now I want you to get this vision. This is very important for you to understand this about God's vision. Those who have got God's vision will never go away from the path of God. Now they have got this amount of feed, and they look at the crowd, assuming as Peter stands, Peter has got now 1,000 people with him in front of him. Example, I'm giving you 1,500 people sitting in front of him. With this small piece, I have to feed 1,500 people. And now, the other John, the one who loves Jesus Christ very much, he also has got that piece. How to feed? Judas, the traitor, also has got the same piece. And every one of them has got the same amount, and they are looking at each other. I've got 1,000 to feed. How am I going to feed the 1,000? It looks very simple for us to read the word of God, you know. But I want you to imagine what happened at the time. Unless you catch what happened at the time, you can't go anywhere in your life. That's where the impossible will become possible in life. Say after me, the impossible will become possible in our life. The impossible will become possible in our life. When we have the vision of God. When we have the vision of God. Amen. So now, he is given to him. And neither one of the apostles asked him, Jesus, how am I going to feed these people? Can you tell me? How am I going to... Did they ask Jesus a question? The word of God says they were very silent. Why they were silent? Why they were silent? Because they saw what Jesus saw. Hello? What did he do? Because they saw what Jesus saw. Unless you see what Jesus see, you cannot do the work of Jesus. Unless you have the vision of what you can do in your life, you cannot have your life perfect. Unless you know Jesus, unless you have the glimpse of what is God is your purpose in your life, you will just still go astray. As Jesus prayed, as he said, Father, and he thanked the Father, and what would have Jesus done? Opened the eyes of every one of the apostles to see that they are feeding now many people. They are feeding many people. So as they fed, as they gave a small piece to somebody, as they gave to somebody, as they go out and give, who Jesus did not give? Who gave? The apostles gave. They went out and gave the amount. Did the amount reduce? Did the amount reduce? Everyone they received, they got this. Can you just imagine 1,200 people sitting there? Would they go there and just feed everybody? Themselves? One by one? No. They would have gone to the leader this side and take one this side and give. You give to the other people. Hello? This row, you give to another people. So God would have, during that time, there was a multiplication of things that is happening that mind cannot conceive. And the mind and the hearts of people cannot conceive. Because they saw, as they give out a small piece, can you pass some to somebody there? Can you pass to somebody? That person passed somebody else. There was a multiplication, not by the apostles alone, by every one of them in that place there. Because why? The 12 of them saw the vision of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you get the vision of God, what God is going to do to your life, you can make multiplication around you. If you don't do that, then we do not know Jesus Christ yet. Hello? It so looks so simple. 5 loaves. But 5 loaves means a lot to Jesus. Amen. So today, brothers and sisters, thank you, brothers. As I gave this row, they also went to other rows and gave. There are people, can you just imagine, 15,000 people sitting down. How can 12 people feed within a few, 1 hour? How can you feed? You tell me, how can you feed? You cannot feed. Even 5,000 people sitting there, 12 people, can they feed in an hour? It will take 2 to 3 hours. Because they have to go through one by one, one by one. It's more than that time. It's already night time. And Jesus has to speak after that. Hello? I want you to capture that vision. Once you capture that vision, you know, understand what I'm saying. That's the purpose of this church. That's the purpose of this church. If you're in this church, that's the purpose. And if you get that vision, you'll make it multiply. The overnight prayer we had in Cebu had changed the hearts of the people there. Now it's flourishing. They only know one black man came there and did something that night. We all prayed together. Nothing else. We only prayed that together. They caught the vision. It's multiplying. Yesterday they told me, Pastor, we are now in Cebu, and from Kuching now, we're doing the same thing what you did in Cebu. Multiplying now. Multiplying now. They are just following what God showed me, the vision, and they got the vision, and they are doing it. Amen? Amen? I believe that will happen to us. Today, brothers and sisters, we all are called to do something. All of us are called to do something. All of us are set aside. And we have to understand, when we are set aside, when we are called, God will provide. But above all, you need the power. Without that power, without the Holy Spirit power, without that power, we can't do it. In order to get the power, you need to pray. You need to gather as a congregation, pray, read the Word of God, and fast together. And above all, commune together. Without any ill feelings, then the flow will grow. The flow will grow. You know why it happens when I go to the place there? Because they don't know me, they also don't know, I also don't know them. They just come, they just do what they have to do, and it is just flooding that night. But here we have got a lot of mind blocks. Oh, like this law, like that law, everything like that. So the mind blocks have got to remove today. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, let there be the days, Lord, that you want to speak to every one of us. Let there be the days of multiplication happen in this church, Lord. Let it be, Father God, as they multiply, the congregation will multiply. And I pray as they multiply, Lord, there will be many more churches set outside, Lord Jesus. We will not sit in comfort zones, but Lord, we will sacrifice our life for you, Lord Jesus. Let there be a sacrificial life, Lord. Lord, we know, Lord, we are in comfort zone, that we will make time for you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we trust, as you have taken care of us, you'll also take care of our family and our children, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for what you have spoken to us today. Thank you, Lord, what you've got for us today. In the most precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.